You look really beautiful this morning. I just want to say that. Last May, when I sat with many of you at the women's luncheon to interview the ministerial candidate to decide whether to call her, to call me, I had the joy to listen to and then answer your questions and to ask some questions of you, and it was a sweet, if mildly nerve-wracking time. One of the trickier questions came from Mary Dalton, who we heard about during Candles. She asked how I felt about hope. And I still remember the sigh in my body before I attempted to answer that simple, not simple question. Hope. Ultimate optimism. You heard in the Time for All Ages story that this is one of the five smooth stones of liberal religion offered here, I'm just about to tell you, in one-line summaries from the minister at All Souls Church in New York, Reverend Galen Gundrich. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. First, Revelation isn't a once-and-done message from on high. We continue to learn new truths every day. Two, human relationships should be mutual and not coercive. Three, our highest moral obligation is to build a just and loving human community or communities. Four, good things will happen only if we use our agency as human beings to make them happen. And five, the resources we need are available to make meaningful change in the world. So in order to make JLA's writings more relevant to Unitarian Universalists, some ministers have distilled each of these in five smooth stones into shorter, sometimes even one-word signifiers. And there's no one universally agreed-upon list. In fact, the multitude of lists shows some consensus and a lot of creativity, as well as how one single concept can be interpreted in many different ways. And in the Time for All Ages story, I offered up action words adapted from a religious educator in Amherst, Massachusetts, Karen Fisk, with her permission. And just to remind you, they were learn, love, give, work, hope. So I want to offer you my list of pithy statements. They aren't exactly action words, but for me, they are what these five smooth stones mean. So the first one for me constitutes living tradition, right? Revelation is unfolding all the time, and that's what we have, an evolving, adapting faith movement. The second smooth stone is really about consent. Sometimes we hear voluntary association. The third smooth stone, there's almost near consensus on this. This is about justice. And the fourth smooth stone is agency. Good things don't happen until people make them happen. But I also think that I wish the phrase have courage was there too, because it's not easy to believe that it's up to us. The fifth smooth stone, and I'm going to use here JLA's words for this stone. He said, liberalism holds that the resources, divine and human, that are available for the achievement of meaningful change justify an attitude of ultimate optimism. Can you see why people have to distill into smaller words? In that last one, you hear his phrase, ultimate optimism, and most people choose hope for that, but I actually think, or at least for me, it's trust. Trust that it's true, that what we have and need to bring about a just community is there. I wonder how you all feel about hope. I wonder if it is available to you. I wonder if it comes easy, if it's part of your easygoing temperament. I wonder if you have to nudge yourself to feel it. I wonder if it eludes you, not just on a day here or there, but far too often making life hard to live. I wonder if hope is a thought, an emotion, a corporal feeling, an aspiration. Is hope possible? Is it more or less possible today than yesterday, than last year? How about if you can imagine in years to come? After yesterday's marches across the nation and across the world, as I was marching with apparently 1.2 million of my closest friends in Washington, D.C., hope seems a little bit more within my grasp. I have heard say over and over by mentors and colleagues that ministers, even over the span of decades, preach only one sermon their entire life. They preach it in a multitude of ways, a variety of iterations, devising an assortment of ways to enter into the heart of what they are preaching. And if they don't, that's too bad for their congregations, right? It gets pretty boring pretty quickly. But I think I've come to the conclusion that hope might be my one sermon. The five smooth stones is not the only thing that James Luther Adams contributed to our modern engagement with Unitarian Universalism. He spent two decades teaching at Meadville Lombard, which is one of our two remaining UU seminaries, and then he went on to teach ethics at Harvard Divinity School and did that for quite a long time. And from what I read and hear, he was truly beloved by colleagues and students. In his early years, he spent time studying German theologians who were the height of progressive theology during the first third of the 20th century. And in so doing, this means he spent time in Germany during the Nazi rise to power, first in 1927 and then again in the 1930s, including before and after Hitler came to power. And he studied with those who created the Confessing Church, created in opposition to the Nazis and in opposition to the Christian Church, which had fallen lockstep with the National Socialist Movement. His notions of ultimate optimism, as well as his insistence on voluntary associations, as well as the power of each of us, all of our collective agency in the world, comes from the fires of his firsthand experience with fascism. That's powerful to me. Before heading to yesterday's march on our National Mall, a place I hold quite dear from my 4 years of living there, I reread his essay called The Evolution of My Social Concern. In it, he describes attending in 1927, 6 years before Hitler became the head of the movement. No, 6 years after he became head of his movement and 6 years before he became head of state, he described attending a Nazi parade of thousands in Nuremberg. I knew, of course, that the march that I was going to be attending would be different than the gathering he did, but I also knew that we are living in a time that holds too many echoes of that era, too many similarities in the rise of a national leader using ethnic and racial scapegoats to further his and his cronies' rise to power, and all of it through legitimate means. So while in conversation with one of those theologians who was part of that confessing church, Adams found himself asking this question. Right, so he's asking himself this thing. If fascism should arise in the States, what in your past performance would constitute a pattern or framework of resistance? And his own response to his own question was this: I could give only a feeble answer, My principal political activities had been the reading of the newspaper and voting. I had preached sermons on the Depression or in defense of strikers. Occasionally, I had uttered protest against censorship in Boston, but I had no adequate conception of citizenship participation. In hindsight, this is a devastating assessment of his own life. And I have been wondering about my own life and how I would fare through that lens. In his further reflections upon his time in Germany, Adams reports, "Repeatedly I heard anti-Nazis say, if only 1,000 of us in the late 20s had combined heroic resistance, we could have stopped Hitler. I noticed the stubborn resistance of the Jehovah's Witness. I observed also the lack of religious pluralism in a country that had no significant nonconformist movement in the churches. Gradually, I came to the conviction that a decisive institution of a viable democratic society is the voluntary association as a medium for the assumption of civic responsibility." And here we see where the second smooth stone emerges, how precious and costly his experience that brought to him a commitment to voluntary association, not for its own sake or for entertainment or good company, but a necessity in the face of authoritarian tendencies and realities. And perhaps here we also see the fourth stone. We are not to wait for God or other people to do good, but to do it with our own hands, made stronger with the second stone at our side. Do it in community. And here is where I want to offer you a little story that speaks to some of our smooth stones, not from last century, but from this past Thursday. It comes to us from the Reverend Don Cooley, who took part in an organized visit of constituents going to Senator Mitch McConnell in Louisville to share their experience of what losing the Affordable Care Act meant to them. And here are her words used with her permission. "It was quite an experience. One woman told me how she had been feeling depressed and how this action helped her regain a sense of her power. Everyone had stories about how important the ACA is in their lives. I've never done anything quite like this before," she continued. "I'm more used to confronting power in a crowd, not in power's office. But it was a whole lot easier than I thought. And I know we made a difference today, maybe not in McConnell's opinion, but in the lives of those participating, and the security guards we talked to, and the poor guy who listened to all our stories and diligently wrote them down. Totally worth it." And here I want to share my own experience from yesterday's march in D.C., where my daughter and I ended up spending the day with a ragtag group of UU young adults. A few were from New York City, one was from Baltimore, a couple were from Cleveland. I'm not quite sure how we ended up together. We had not known, the New York people knew each other, but we hadn't known each other before. But we clumped together. And in the throng and crush of the friendly, cooperative crowd, I'm not hearing any reports of violence from yesterday. The day before, yes, but not yesterday. We waddled more than marched, right? It was tight quarters. And we became a temporary congregation. We were an impermanent sangha, complete with dancing to Madonna's Express Yourself and singing from the teal hymnal by heart, "Wo Ya Ya," when we were trying to get through the press of the crowd. And I know we don't yet sing much from the teal hymnal, but this is what we sang. "We are going, heaven knows where we are going, but we know within, and we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will." And that has great profound meaning, right? But we were just trying to cross Independence Avenue, and it was hard. We held hands not to get lost as we squeezed our way through the tightly knit crowd. We held each other's load. There was a single mom there, right? So took off her backpack and held it in our arms. These young people had brought buttons that they had made, and there were strangers who looked different than them, who admired them, and they gave them away. There was a poster, you know, these posters that were beautiful and made, just handed out as we arrived at RFK Stadium, and my daughter clutched hers. It's gorgeous. I'm like, really, you're going to carry that all day? Yes. In her nearly 21-year-old vehemence. And then at the end of the day, we're walking, and a woman comes up to her, where do you get that? It's gorgeous. Oh, we got it at the beginning. It was just given to us, and we part our ways. And then my daughter stops, and she runs after this woman and hands it to her. Proud mama. All those young people made me proud to be a Unitarian Universalist. It made me realize that we do these actions not only to achieve some goal, but to embody the world we dream about. So it seems to me that these five stones, the ones that helped David slay the giant Goliath and to allow the scrappy Israelite army to win against the Philistines, the ones that we have come to understand as a major theological underpinning of Unitarian Universalism, in particular, and liberal religion in general, these are good companions in our spiritual pockets alongside our seven principles that I preached about last week. And our responsive reading today wove them together. I don't know if you could hear it and hear the echoes. But these are good and worthy companions on our intentional journey. And good as they are, they need updating. And some have tried. You can read. I have a colleague inspired by our Universalist side who has suggested that love is missing, and that would be her first smooth stone. And another colleague has suggested if you put all five together, then that is love. I personally don't want to be artificially limited by five. I think we need a sixth stone. I think that right now that sixth stone is rough. It's unpolished. It exists already, not fully formed, but ready to be transformed. And that sixth stone is you. That sixth stone is me. That sixth stone is we. And maybe today's chalice lighting, the Declaration of Conscience drafted jointly by the Unitarian Universalist Association and the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee just a few days ago, has something to do with that sixth stone, affirming our unyielding commitment to protect the interdependent web of all existence, to resist the turning back of advances, a pledge to embody compassion and justice in human relations. I'm not sure what the sixth stone is, and I don't think we need to know, except that we need to submit to a life of abrasion and engagement that we might allow ourselves to be polished and smoothed. May it be so. Blessed be.